It's just simply wonderful to be saved. And I can't think of any place that I'd want to be other than we are gathered here this morning. What a wonderful salvation. And one day, we're going to leave earth and be with him forever. What a thought. What an anticipation. But we must get on with the subject. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2, please. Book of the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know thy works, labor, and patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And now the portion that we're going to consider today. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Counterfeit things that we believers today have to deal with. Counterfeit. Frauds. Fakers. Liars. Our subject. Let's look at a few counterfeit things that the scriptures warn us of. Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse 8. Counterfeit things, false things, fakers, liars, spiritual counterfeiters. Jeremiah 8, verse 8, how do ye say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Certainly, in vain made he it. Note, the pen of the scribes is false. False pens. You know the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. Its power is often used to deceive men. And today there's more writing and more false writing than ever before. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 12. False pens. False writing. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. Further, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. Is that true? And there are a lot of counterfeit, false, spiritual books. I'll only mention them. We'll go into them at a future time. The Da Vinci Code. False pens. And after that, they found another one. The Gospel according to Judas. You know that one? That's another false one. And then they found another one, the Gospel according to Mary Magdalene. Oh, my. You talk about false pens. They're all around. False, counterfeit teachings. Next, we have false visions. Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies. They did it then and they're doing it now. Prophesying lies, counterfeit spiritual. In my name. I sent them not, nor have I commanded them. Neither spake a false vision unto you. They prophesy a false vision and divination. False visions. False dreams we get in Jeremiah chapter 23. False prophets. Oh my, that's a big one. A lot of false prophets. Let's look a little bit at false prophets. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 18. He said, I am a prophet also as thou art. That's the older man. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied. False prophets. Lying prophets. They existed then. We have them here today, false prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15, false prophets. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 15. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. The prophet that teaches lies. False prophets. They existed then, and they exist today. Jeremiah chapter 5. Oh, I have a long list of them here. We won't read all of them. When you go home, check up on all the false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. And we have them today. When I was a boy in New York City, we had a man called the Barefoot Prophet. Tall, handsome fellow, mixed gray hair. He never wore shoes. The hottest day in the summer on that hot pavement and cement, barefoot. The coldest day in winter with snow on the ground, barefoot. The Barefoot Prophet. And I used to wonder, what does this man tell people? And you know what? They would give him a little change. He had a little container for his change. And he would write something on a paper and give them. And I often, what is this man giving to these people? The Barefoot Prophet. You know what he was giving them? In that area, there was what is called the numbers game. And if you put so much money on a number, that number came out, whatever that means, you would get 3 to 5 times the amount of money you deposited. The Barefoot Prophet, you would deposit a little bit in his pocket, and he would write something and give it to you. And what do you think he was writing? The number for you to play. The Barefoot Prophet. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. For such are false apostles. We have them too today. I don't know if you listen to them. You know, there's some believers that don't believe you should listen to TV, should look at TV or listen to the radio. I confess I listen to the radio and I look at TV. As a rule, when I'm looking at the news, I like to look at the news in the evening. I sit looking at the news with a Bible in my hand. That's the best way to listen to the news. Hear what the newsman has to say and compare it with what the book says. False apostles. 2 Peter chapter 2. All of these false things. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers. Oh, beloved, beware of the false teachers. As the Lord spares, and at a future time, we shall look into some of the false teachings of the false prophets. False lips. And then in Timothy, we read of science, so-called. Science, so-called. False science. False knowledge. And you know they teach a lot of that in the schools. I remember one course that I was taking. Embryology. You know how you start out as a little cell and you grow into a baby and that sort of thing. The thing about these false scientists, the words that they use. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. Do you know what that means? Imagine your child coming home from school. Mommy and Daddy, do you know that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny? I'm sure Mommy and Daddy look at each other. What's that child talking about? They must be teaching him something with all those big words. You know what those big words amount to? Those big words amount to foolish nonsense. They taught me that. They don't teach it anymore because they don't believe it. They say it's no longer true. High-sounding nonsense. And you young ones in school, beware of what they teach you. Anything that does not go along with the Word of God is absolutely wrong. Isaiah 8 and 20. Anybody that tells you anything contrary to what's in this book, that person is completely, absolutely, and totally wrong. And don't be afraid of it. False. False lips. Oh, I have some more listed here. We won't go into them. Years ago, at a bank in New York, I was online, and the depositor before me had a large deposit. And I noticed a teller counting these bills, and then he took one, put it over there, counting another. You know what I found out later? The ones that he put over there were counterfeit monies. Counterfeit bills. And I wondered to myself, how did this man counting so fast know a counterfeit when he came across it? Did he study all the counterfeits in the country? No. He knew a real bill. And because he knew the true bill, he could tell the false bill. John chapter 18. Verse 38. And if we are to avoid counterfeits, we too must know the truth. Verse 38, John 18. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Pilate made one mistake. He didn't stay there long enough to learn what was truth. But we recognize the false because we know the truth. What is truth? What is truth? What is spiritual truth? Let us look at a few scriptures. Psalm 19. What is truth? If we are going to know what is false, we must know what is truth. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's the word of God. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, that also refers to the word of the Lord, is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. Oh my. The word of God is right. The fear of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord are righteous. Chapter 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. You know what that means? Tested, without error. What is truth? The word of the Lord. Go back a little bit, please, to chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are flawless words. You want to know what's right? This book is right. Go a little further with me to Psalm 119. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word stands firm forever. You want to know what's right? The word of God is right. Verse 138 of Psalm 119. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and faithful. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. What is truth? The word of God is truth. Verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. Now you say to me, well, why are you going through all these scriptures? They're all saying the same thing. Well, that makes it important. When God says something once, it's important. And if He is pleased to repeat it, you know it's very important. And that's why we're reading these scriptures. This word, this book, is truth. And God reemphasizes it. If He is pleased to reemphasize it, I'd better be pleased to accept it. So we go on. Proverbs chapter 22. The word of God is true. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 21. That I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth. Where do you find, what is the word of truth? This is the word of truth. You want truth? This is truth. And if we are to succeed and recognize false teachings, we've got to know the truth. I've got some more here. I won't read them. When you go home, find out the many references to the fact that the Word of God is true. Now we go on. How do you learn the truth? How do you learn the truth? Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verses 10 and 11. How do we learn the truth? The Bible is true. How do you learn it? How do you get to know the Bible? Acts chapter 17, verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now note, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. You want to know the word? Search the scriptures. I have told you this, I repeat it. My first day in medical school, and I met there a third year student whom I knew from college days. And I said to him, Solon, what is the secret to studying this medicine? What makes it so hard? What do you advise? How shall I study medicine? One word. Garns D. That's how you learn medicine. You want to learn the Bible? D. A young man said to an older man, you are so busy. You have a big business and so much to take care of. And yet you know so much about the Bible. How do you find time to do all of these things? And the older man said to him, I don't find time, I take time. You want to know the book? Take time. Brother George and Sister Betty may remember this. I remember Dr. Rose, that venerable servant of the Lord. He said one day a young sister came to him and said, I would like to know my Bible the way you do. He said, how much time do you spend reading the Bible? Oh, 10 or 15 minutes a day. He said, you'll never know your Bible the way I do. And that went to her heart. And she began to study the Bible. And I am told that in California, she has a library there with references on almost every Bible subject, the result of her studying the Bible. Take time, not find time. I went to Colorado. And the brother said to me, I want to talk to you. I have a problem. Well, I thought he was going to have me talk in his home. He invited me to his house. But then he said, brother, come, let's take a ride. Denver's a beautiful place. And we rode a little bit and he stopped the car. He said, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, my wife knows more Bible than I do. I said, well, how do you spend your time? He says, I get up at 7 in the morning, have breakfast, and go to work. I come home at 4 o'clock. I have dinner. and I go to bed around 5 and sleep till 12. Then I get up at 12, get dressed, and I go to work at 1 and come home at 5 and repeat that. I said, brother, you don't know the Bible because you have too many jobs. As busy as your wife is, she finds and takes time for the Word. You don't have any time for the Word. I suggest that you give up one of those jobs and give God some time and study your Bible with your family, and you'll see the difference. Take time. Another evil. I don't see it advertised very much these days. Evelyn Woods speed reading. Anybody here familiar with that? Yeah. You have to be a little advanced in age to know that. Evelyn Woods speed reading. How to read fast. Well, now, beloved, speed reading is all right for the newspaper. See? Speeding is all right for the magazine. When it comes to this book, don't speed read. Take your time and read and study. No speed reading. Let me call attention to this. The Word of God is called by different names, and every name has a significance. It's called the Word of God in contradistinction to the Word of man. God wrote this book. It is called the Word of His power. It is called the Word of His salvation, the Word of faith, the Word of reconciliation. I have a long list here. We won't go into them. Learn the Bible. Don't speed read the Bible. The story is told of some students. And one student was outstanding above all the others. And he was asked, how is it that you are all in the same class, exposed to the same thing, and you are so outstanding? Now, this was the day before the days of electricity, see? They used oil lamps in those days. This student said, they spend their money on alcohol. I spend my money on oil to burn the lamp. That's why I'm ahead. And if we're going to be ahead, we've got to spend time with this book. And it's a wonderful book. Where is Rebecca? Yeah. Rebecca likes to collect hymns. She has favorite hymns. I have favorite pieces of poetry and literature. Let me read you one. The Bible reveals the mind of God, the original state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. Its author is God. God wrote this book. Its writers were men. It's infallibly inspired. There are no mistakes in the Bible. It is given you in life, opened in judgment, and will endure forever. The book that you have in your hand. It is a mine of wealth. Oh, you know, there's an old question. Who would know more? A student spending 4 years in college, or a student spending 4 years studying the Bible? Who would know more? I leave it to you to judge. It is a mine of wealth, a river of pleasure, and a paradise of glory. Oh, what joy one gets studying the book. As I often say, sometimes I read and I'm about to jump. I told you the story about my friend Lloyd. He's now in heaven. And he was in the locker room. He worked at R.H. Macy's, big thing. He was in the locker room reading his testament. And I know exactly the testament because I had one like it. He didn't think anybody was in the locker room. And as he was reading, he came across something and he said, "Whoa!" A fellow happened to come in. "What's wrong? Are you all right?" He says, "I'm fine." Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been so thrilled with what you read that you jump and say, "Wow"? There are a lot of wows in here. And especially, I say to you young people, study the book. Learn the book. It will thrill you. God's glory is its end. The Lord Jesus Christ, its wonderful object. Our good is design. Here heaven opens. Paradise is restored. Hell's gates are disclosed. Its histories are true. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Read it thoughtfully. No speed reading. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. Read it to be wise. You want to be wise? You read the Bible. You'd be surprised. When you go home, read chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. This book will make you wise even in school. I'll give you a little personal example. I don't like to be personal, but it applies. And when I tell you this, I am not boasting of myself. This is the power of God and the word of God. It was always my habit from high school days to do my homework and then read the Bible. And I say it occurred to me, I believe the Spirit of God told me this, third year in medical school. Read your Bible first and don't stop till you get something and then read the medical books. Would you do that? All that money spent on you to go and learn law, whatever it is, and you read the Bible first and leave the other books? Oh my, I did it. Graduation time came, and it was whispered around, somebody in the class is not graduating. And they came to me, "Somebody is not graduating. You don't seem worried." You know what I said? As before the Lord. If I don't graduate, none of you will. The book. The book. It involves the highest responsibility. Will reward the greatest labor and condemn all who trifle with its holy contents. We're going to talk about that. People trifling with the contents of the Word of God. I'll stop soon. The Bible is the only offensive weapon that the believer has. Read Ephesians 6. Put on the breastplate. Put on the helmet. Put on the shoes. The only thing that the believer has to use against the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You remember when the Lord was tempted by the devil? What did he do? Did he stay there and argue? He said, "It is written." And the devil left him. That's the one piece of armor that we have. The Word of God. But how are you going to know the Word of God if you don't take it in? 2 Kings. chapter 2. The Lord said, it is written. And if we're going to defeat the enemy, these counterfeits, we've got to be able to say, it is written. We've got to know what's in the book. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19. The men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is bad and the ground barren. Verse 21. He, Elijah, went forth unto the spring of the waters, cast salt in there. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. He cast salt in the water. But where did he get the salt from? Before he could cast salt in the water, he had to put salt in the bottle. Read verse 20. Elijah said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. He went forth into the spring of waters and cast the salt in there. He was able to cast salt in the waters because he put salt in the container. Another thing comes to mind. When I get started, so many things that I don't have written here come to mind. Pharmacology. That's study of drugs, you know. This Friday, Professor Maloney, because all the medicines that we had to prescribe, we had to take ourselves. And he said, this pill will increase your memory, make you sharp. Came back on Monday, and he gave a test. And more than half of the class failed. And they complained, we took the pill. He said, did you study? You can't get out what you don't put in. Pill or no pill. And it's the same way with the book. You cannot give out what you don't put in. Take time to be holy. It is written. Let me see. Without Philippians chapter 1. You see, on a subject like this, one could talk maybe 2 or 3 hours. Philippians 1. Verse 17. Paul says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And as I mentioned, the only thing that you can use to defend the gospel is the word of God. The word of God. You've got to know the word if you're going to defend against false teachers. Now let me read another little piece. I'm grateful to collecting tracts and magazine articles and that sort of thing. Let me read you one of my favorites. The need to know the word of God if you're going to overcome a false teacher. A little girl, not a big one, a little one. Like the one in the case of Naaman. A little girl, doesn't take big people necessarily. Being asked by a priest to attend religious instruction, refused, saying it was against her father's wishes. The priest said she should obey him, not her father. Oh, sir, we are taught in the Bible, she said, to honor your father and mother. But you are to call me father, was his answer. To this she replied, no, the scripture says, call no man your father. How about that? Well, that's really defending the truth, isn't it? Something else comes to mind. At one of the hospitals in New York, the priest used to come in, and the nurses would always say, "Good evening, Father, good evening, Father." And I would say, "Good evening, sir." And there was one priest there, he looked at me as if looks could kill, I wouldn't be here. I just wouldn't call him Father. The scripture, she says, call no man your father on earth. One is your father, which is in heaven. The priest was not anxious to lose a religious discussion to one so young. And he said, "You have no business reading the Bible." She said, "Then why did Jesus tell me to search the scriptures?" This is defending the truth. I like this. She knew the book. She knew what was in the book. He replied, "That is only for the clergy. You understand that a little child cannot know the scriptures." Then why, she asked, did Paul write to Timothy, "From a child you have known the scriptures"? But you've got to know the book in order to apply it. You've got to study the book and know what to say to the counterfeits. Surely there was some way to get the best of this young upstart. So he said, Timothy was being trained to be a bishop, and he was taught by church authorities. "No, sir," said the little girl. "He was taught by his mother and his grandmother." At least that's what Paul said. Isn't that good? She knew the book. And if we are going to defend the truth from counterfeits, we've got to know the book. The priest turned away, and someone said they heard him say, "She knows enough Bible to poison a parish." How much Bible do we know? How much Bible do we know? In the will of the Lord, on Wednesday night, we'll continue. And we shall touch on some of these false teachers. What they're teaching, why they're false, and how to recognize a false teacher. Hymn number 222. Oh, young folks, learn the Bible. Live the Bible. Hymn 221 was written by Brother Alfred Gibbs. I never met him. Brother George knew him. I understand that he was a mighty man of God. I don't think we know that hymn, or we would sing it. But we will sing hymn 222. And sing it twice. I am. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are. Let's value the Bible. We in this nation are privileged. I was reading very recently of a community of several thousand people. There is one Bible in the community chained to the pulpit at the local church. In order to read that Bible, you have to make an appointment. Monday at 9, and you read from 9 to 9:30, because at 9:30, the next one is coming. And we have a Bible. I dare say in most of our homes, there's more than one Bible. Don't use it for decoration, beloved. I remember back in New York, I visited a young couple. And I like to see what people read. I like to know what they read. And so I looked around. Then I saw a Bible. I said, "You all have a nice collection of books here. And I see you have a Bible." "Oh, yes, we have a Bible." "When do you read your Bible?" "Oh, we read it. I said, well, if you read it, why is there so much dust on it? Oh, no. We are privileged to have this book. Cherish it. Read it. And when we come against the counterfeiters, we can give it to them. It is written. May the Lord bless every one of us here. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy love in giving thy Son to die for us. And Lord, we thank thee for willingly dying for us. Seated at thy Father's right hand, thou hast sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. We give thee thanks. How precious is salvation. Thou knowest those things which we have been looking at in thy word, both in the Sunday school and in this latter meeting. Bless to us thy word. May we cherish thy word. May we learn thy word, and may we speak thy word. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy blessing upon us. Take us to our several places of abode in peace and safety. And to thee we give the glory, the praise, and the honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God bless everybody.